Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We've been waiting for a long time.
Friday, I don't care because I'm on vacation.
Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time.
Well, I ain't going to ask you, Tanny, because I've said this so many times, we got it on recording.
Hey, where is Spiggs?
We've been waiting for a long time.
Spiegs is off. He's on vacation. Then we come back on Tuesday, and it's football season, week one.
But we ain't going to wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're going to 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
It's game week, Bears fans.
Game week. Game week is here.
Game week, Dustin said.
It's game week.
It's game week, guys. It's game week.
Hope is alive in Chicago.
This is a divisional opponent starting at week one, so it's definitely a lot of stakes.
The Bears are back, baby. That's exactly what's going through every single Bears fan in this stadium right now. I guarantee you that.
Got our quarterback, got our head coach. Wins the parade.
The boys are back in town.
1-0 in 2025.
Yeah. I hate the Vikings.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We got a full boat for you. We're here until 6 o'clock. It is game week. The games are real. The NFL season starts in 2 days. Alex is fired up. He said that he has a little extra pep in his step because the NFL is back this week. Tanny, not so much. He just wanted to get through today and make sure that the show sounded good. That man is back from vacation.
Let's go, baby.
He's Matt Spiegel.
I mean, goodness. It is all happening. It is all happening. You know, every year when I do the last hit and run on a Sunday morning, Stan from Bellwood calls and says, I'm going to say it again, September is a baseball month. September is a baseball month. It is both. It is a baseball month. It is a football month, and we can all live together in harmony. That's the thing. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. We got to love one another right now. At these hours, this time together. Lawrence, you love baseball?
I do.
I love football. Let's go. Oh, yes, I do.
Because of the Sequoias?
Because of my flag football experience? No. You know I love football. I don't love college football the same way that some other people love college football, but that's okay. I love the NFL, man, and I can't wait to watch
Fire Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you could do 4 hours on that today. And you already did an hour, though, on Alabama on House of L. Right?
Yeah, I did a whole college football thing on House of L. So if anyone wants to get my college football thoughts, they can have them on House of L.
There you go. And I did 3 hours on on Hit and Run on Sunday. We come together and we merge all of these things together like it is for our listeners in Chicago. This is a hell of a sports month, man. Let's go.
It's great when you have a baseball team that's competing in September. And we'll figure out what type of team the Cubs are, but we know they're going to the playoffs unless something just terrible happens between now and the end of the season. We know they're going to the playoffs. Now it's a matter of trying to figure out, are they legit? Are they a World Series contender?
And that's the kind of content that we'll be making sure has its place all month long. Like, we got to figure out what the bullpen is, man. And we'll talk about it a little bit later on.
Roster choices.
Oh, yes.
And maybe the platooning of what's going on the roster with the Cubs.
Absolutely. And frankly, a battle that I think is going on for one roster spot on a potential playoff roster between Justin Turner and Carlos Santana is something like, and who's going to, what the rotation might look like, all those kind of things. We'll have all of that. But how are you also not freaking excited for Ben Johnson? Like, this is schematically one of the very best, what, top two, top three maybe, current offensive minds in the NFL that we get a chance to watch from a run game perspective and a pass game perspective, just overall, to have somebody this good. When have we had somebody this good, this smart from an offensive perspective? Matt Nagy got exposed, you know? What this is, Matt Nagy got exposed as an acolyte of Andy Reid who only knew one thing. This is a very different animal right now.
And we kind of found out that Matt wasn't really calling the plays in Kansas City.
Right.
That Andy was doing 95% of the play calling while Matt was there the first time. I think it's changed a little bit now that he's back. But yeah, to then have someone who has succeeded in growing an offense with a quarterback that a lot of people thought just wasn't bright enough to run a big boy offense. And look what he's turned him into. He's turned him into a Pro Bowl quarterback.
He's a guy who matches wits with Brian Flores on a very effective level when he's in Detroit. And now we get to see him match wits with Brian Flores this week as a Bears head coach. There is so much to dig into. And I haven't even mentioned Colson Montgomery having more home runs than everybody other than Kyle Schwarber since he debuted.
Yeah, and that's crazy as well.
He's got 16 homers already.
Isn't it like the most home runs ever by someone who got called up after July 1st?
Probably.
I think I saw that stat on the game broadcast the other day.
That's amazing. And literally nobody other than Schwarber has more homers than Colson Montgomery since he showed up.
It's kind of crazy. It's basically home run or nothing.
Oh, I think it's a .288 on base percentage.
Yeah.
So that's a little frightening.
It is. And I'm here for the 600 at bats, and then we can start talking about what he is. But it's great that he is out here. Like, there is something for Tanny. Went and got CHSN just because of this.
And he went to the game on Saturday night. It was a Friday, Saturday, right?
Saturday, yeah.
He went to the game.
He's in the scout seats with his dad.
First time since 2022.
Ahoy, Palloy.
Our boy was touched by the baseball angel. He was touched.
I'm sorry. I meant to say he was sitting in section 533.
That's right.
Which, by the way, fans. 533 is actually great. That's like right behind home plate. It's beautiful.
That's where you used to be.
That's where my seats were.
I like sitting up there.
Yeah. I was like first row 533. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Tanny went up there, but only to hang out with his dear friends on press level, you know?
Yes.
And then he went back to the scouts.
So there's all sorts of stuff, man. I couldn't get enough. Like this weekend when I was hiking or I was driving, because that drive from Flagstaff to Phoenix is a thing, I was listening to Matt LaFleur on the Pivot podcast. I was listening to all sorts of coaching stuff. I'm just like, yeah, let's go. Let's get into it. Let's find out what's happening with football as football is getting ready to be played.
That's freaking awesome.
And Speaks is like, oh, Carlos Santana or Justin Turner.
Well, no, I was listening to Cubs games on the MLB app, while driving through some incredible countryside and scenery in upstate New York and Vermont and Massachusetts.
That's funny. Isn't Cooperstown in upstate New York?
Talk to you later on during the show.
See, so yeah, we got you covered. Whether it's football or baseball, we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about it. Speaking of talking about baseball, and we've got plans for football today. There's actually a lot going on with the Bears today.
Yeah,
they named a left tackle.
Uh-huh. They named a left tackle. They've decided on captains.
Way less captains.
And that means some specific guys basically had the C removed.
Guys had C's ripped off their chests. Tony Medlin went over and just ripped them off.
Boy, that visual will be something. That could not have gone over well with a couple specific guys.
Yeah, so we will talk about all of that stuff on today's show. We also are going to visit with Matt Bowen. He's going to join us at 4 o'clock. Jason Leisure is going to join us at 3, so we'll really get into the weeds on what's going on with the Bears. Mark Grody is out of his mind. He's out of his damn mind, and I love it. He said that there's so much stuff that happened at Hallis Hall today that his Bears hit, which will be two words, will be two parts today.
Yeah, it's because Jalen Johnson spoke and Ben Johnson spoke and the captain stuff and the tackle stuff, and there's a ton to catch up on with Mark on a freaking game week.
So we've got a lot to catch up with you on, and we are glad that we are your choice. We are glad that you're listening to the show, and we're going to reward you. Nico Horner is always everyone's favorite segment on this show. He's going to join us. We'll talk ball with him, maybe a little bit of football, too. So stick around. Spiegel and Holmes back together here on The Score.
Batting six, second baseman number two, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm jealous.
Called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
All right, guys. Nico Horner.
Nico did his weekly radio show appearance today on Spiegel and Holmes.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
The 3-1.
Swinging a drive. Deep left field. It's got a chance, gone. Three-run homer, Nico Horner. One of the longest we've ever seen him hit. He got all of that one. And the Bay Area native has just given the Cubs a 3-1 lead. What a blast.
Welcome home, Nico, the kid from the Bay Area.
Horner hits a fly ball into right center. Pretty well hit. Back goes Doyle. Horner gets the RBI with a long sack fly into deep right center. It's his 54th run batted in, and the Cubs lead 1-0.
Line drive down the left side. That'll curl into the corner. And Nico into second. It's a two-bagger. Horner, like a Xerox copy of what he did last time. And it's a double for Nico. Double thumbs up.
I'm fairly convinced if Nico were Colorado Rocky, played all his home games here, he'd be about a 330 hitter.
Nico Horner on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
It's so much fun to talk with Nico. Nico Horner on The Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of asterisk free checking. More at Huntington.com. And he joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Nico, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We are delightful. Man, that was fun to hear those highlights in there. And we'll talk about yesterday's game, but can we talk about the no-doubter home run in San Francisco where you, I think you threw your bat kind of like you were Jose Bautista in a playoff game for the Blue Jays like that. I don't know how many no-doubters you've had as an MLB player, but that had to feel unbelievably great.
Yeah, it felt great. It was a cool moment to share with a bunch of family and friends that were able to be there and stuff. So nice timing with that one for sure.
How many people were there this time?
There was probably like 15 people there that day or so.
So what do you do? Like, do you do like a reception or something afterwards? You get together with everybody or what? Because I don't know if you've checked out.
Quarterback, like, right? You're thinking of Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
I know you were thinking that.
Yeah, Joe Burrow does this thing. Well, he'll go up to the box where everyone is and then crack a beer and apparently not wear a shirt and just hang out with everyone. So do you do like a big dinner with everyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL schedule and baseball one are a little different as far as the significance of each game. No, there's a little family room or something in most fields or even down on the field. But yeah, always good to see people. I mean, the first time playing there was a little overwhelming. And I think I was still kind of figuring out how to handle that stuff and, you know, keep with my routines, but also get to see everybody. And I think I've gotten a little better at that over the years, but you know, playing well always helps.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to have a pretty good capacity to mix the social with the baseball. But is that easier after the game than it is before the game?
Yeah, definitely easier after. But even good or bad game, it's still like, it's a little funny just seeing people immediately after getting off the field. You're in such a different headspace than everyone who just, you know, drank three or four beers and hung out and just caught a baseball game. So, it's always kind of a funny change of headspace, but always cool to see people that have known me for a long time and seen me play a lot of baseball in that area from since I was a little kid. So, yeah, that's cool to share.
Nico, that game yesterday, down 6-1, and you guys claw all the way back. Pete with the bunt before Dansby had the two-run double, then Carson Kelly, the home run. That felt like one of those magical May and June wins that you guys kind of piled up at the beginning of the year, didn't it?
Yeah, that was really special. I mean, we had a long road trip and felt like we hadn't been at Wrigley in a really long time, and you want to embrace that, and it was a great crowd. And, you know, those first three or four innings just did not go well. You know, it was not our best baseball, but really telling just of where our team's at and what we're capable of to come back and win that game. And that was super uplifting, you know, more than any one win in the standings or things like that. You know, it's first game of the month and first game of a homestand. And, you know, sometimes those things line up in a way that make those things feel a little bit more significant. We've talked about that a lot over the year, right? When, you know, one win can feel like more or less or whatever it is, but that one just for morale and everything else, that felt like a big deal and really great moments for guys, big swings.
I geek out on base running. Spiegs knows this. I love to watch Pete go first to third. I love to watch you go first to third. Guys like Mike Trout, like watching them go first to third. I thought the base running yesterday, once you guys got to a point where you could smell the rally, I thought you guys were so crisp, like hitting the corners of the bags, not losing stride, like all the stuff that you get from the Tom Emanski baseball school. It was right there in front of us. How much do you guys talk about base running, or is it just ingrained? Because you guys run the bases really well as a group.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you say base running, and the first thing I think comes to mind for a lot of guys is the stolen base side of it. And, you know, we did a great job of that early in the season, really took advantage of some teams, and haven't had as much success lately. But like you said, there's a lot more to it than just the stolen base. And, you know, we have a lot of really good athletes in our lineup. So it's a fun thing when we're starting to get a lot of traffic on there and guys are flying around and the crowd's going crazy. That's a really, really cool thing to be in the middle of, and definitely something we take a lot of pride in as a group.
Yeah, Pete scoring from first on that double.
On a ball that doesn't even make it to the warning track. Like, yeah. That is amazing.
Yep. Yeah, it all starts with a big primary lead with the first baseman not holding him on, so he's almost halfway to second base there already, and just the anticipation and excitement to impact the game in any way you can. It's a really great thing about being a good athlete in this game is you know, the hitting side of things comes and goes for all of us, but if you're able to impact the game every day on defense and base running, then you're going to be a really valuable player.
We know how seriously you take every moment and every aspect of the game. Was that tough on you psychologically to get picked off in that spot? Like, do you need to recover from that? Teammates need to talk to you, or you need to take a moment and flip the switch? What's that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't need help from anybody else. It's more so just like, I mean, there's peace of mind in that I committed to something that was exactly what we planned for before the game. But for it not to, you know, to line up and to be in a spot where it feels like we were starting to get some momentum going with Ian hitting a homer and, you know, me getting on base and no outs and having a chance to really get back into the game. Definitely felt like it killed a lot of momentum and then turned into a couple of runs for them in the top half. And yeah, that definitely stung.
I didn't realize that it was part of a master plan that just didn't all come to fruition together.
Yeah, I mean, we prep every game base running wise, just like we do offensively, extensive scouting reports and stuff like that. And, you know, there's risk involved in everything. And mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, that didn't work out.
There's a lot of movement roster wise with you guys. So, and
yeah,
obviously, yeah, and you can, and with the extension of the roster too, like that helps. So, how do you navigate that? Like, you're meeting new guys, you're playing behind new guys, and you bring in Savali. He comes in and he does a great job for you yesterday. How do you navigate all of that change that's gone on with your team over the last 3 days?
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's unique how late in the year this one is. Obviously, the trade deadline is kind of something we're all used to dealing with, but yeah, roster expansion, even though it's not what it used to be in September, it still is different. And I think, you know, you can have as many conversations as you can with guys, but to get out there on the field and share emotions and experiences that happen in the game is really the way I think we all become close. And yeah, amazing outing yesterday, three innings of really, really great pitching through the heart of their lineup and kept us in the game, and that was huge for our win.
Any interactions with Carlos Santana through the years? 16 years in the bigs. He won a gold glove at age 38. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was they were playing against us when he hit his 400th double, which was cool. Just like, he got to second base and he asked for the ball and I was like, what was that? He said 400 doubles. I'm like, man, that's a lot of baseball. But yeah, it's cool to have another guy around who's, you know, been through so many different things in the game. And I think guys that are former catchers too often have a kind of a different lens that they see the game with. So yeah, excited to pick his brain and have him around.
Matt Shaw told us or told me a story. I did like a Q&A with Matt Shaw a few weeks back. And he told a story about, like, he was leading off first base in Cleveland with Santana playing first base. Did he tell you about this? You know about this?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, so he was like, and Carlos Santana said to him, how long you been in the bigs? And Matt said, I'm a rookie. It's like, oh, okay. And then he led off first base and he came back and then he led off first again. He came back and then the inning ended and Carlos Santana turned to him and said, I've been in the big leagues for 16 years and ran off the field. Like that was their entire exchange. Like Carlos was waiting to be asked how long he'd been in the big leagues, and Matt got a kick out of it. Carlos is probably very proud of having 16 years is bananas, Nico. What do you think about it?
Yeah, as he should be. There, I mean, you hit 31, 32 now, and you know, all the regression models and everything hates you, and so then it's time for you to be out of the game. And so if you're a guy that can play through your mid-30s and into your late-30s and even 40 like JT, like it's a huge, huge testament to the quality of player you are, but also just who you are, and that both for yourself are able to take care of yourself and continue to find ways to be productive, but also you're somebody that people want to have around. They're choosing you. They want you to be a part of their team, whether it's a starting player or a a role off the bench or multiple positions. Like, you're a player that especially winning teams have made an effort to keep you around and are paying you for your production, but also who you are. And you know, there isn't as much of that in baseball now, I don't think, but it's cool when that is still a part of the picture.
Let's go back to the milestones for a second with the 400 doubles for Carlos Santana. Like, What have you kept? Like, what are the moments in the game you're like, yeah, I need that ball because that's important?
Oh, I don't really have a whole lot of my own stuff. Someone grabbed my 500th hit, so I have that somewhere. And then obviously, like, your first hit, first homer, feels like it happens all fast. And then it's like, okay, play for 10 years and we'll get back to you. baseball is such a sport of respecting experience, and I know the game's gone very young and there's so much value in the young players right now, as there should be, but for the guys that are able to really stick it out, and just have so much respect for them, because guys that have played 15 years in baseball right now, the game's changed a lot, and they've seen so much change but still been able to have success and continue to develop and find ways to be productive. I think that's really cool.
I think that there's obviously a lot of joy in seeing, like, you have a milestone moment, right? But I love to watch veteran guys when young guys have it. Like when Owen Casey comes up and he's got the first hit and the first RBI and the first home run, and seeing you guys as a clubhouse and as a dugout go crazy and be like, no, get that ball, get that ball. I love seeing that. What's that like when you see one of the young kids hit their first milestones?
It's a huge deal. And I think, you know, no matter where you are in your career, you remember every bit of your first couple of days in the big leagues and first milestones and conversations you have. Like, that stuff is just cemented so deeply in your brain from a really heightened time in your life and career. And, you know, I think guys are just, they know, like, no one understands better than the other players, like, what that feels like. And just whether it's a close game or whatever is happening, everything kind of stops in that moment. And it's a really cool thing to celebrate. And no matter what happens in someone's career after that, just that they have that moment, that's forever. And it takes so much to get to that point that it's cool to celebrate.
Nico Horner's with us here on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. The game-tying home run from Carson, and Ian did the same thing on Sunday. That's got to be a crazy vibe in the dugout, the improbable late game tying home run when that's exactly what you need. Ian, by the way, 6-game hit streak, 9 for his last 17. He's been huge, hasn't he, of late?
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, I know it's a production sport, but you know, his expected numbers have been way better than his production for most of the year, and no surprise that, you know, he's continuing to put a great version of himself out on the field like he does every year. And he's going to finish the year in as good a spot or better than past years. And, you know, it's a testament to his resilience mentally and just him knowing who he is so well, and just a joy to play with. And yeah, it's pretty special.
Can you explain the instinct of trying to untuck the shirt of Carson Kelly after he hits the game tying home run? It was Kevin Alcantara, who's been here for like 5 minutes. He's like just reaching out there. He's like, let me untuck the shirt. Like, what is the idea? Is the idea to have people end up like Christopher Morel, like crossing home plate, naked on the top?
Wait, sorry,
half?
This was the game tying homer?
Yes, the game tying home run. Oh no, it was the walk off. You're right. It's the walk off. It's the walk off.
Because he would still need that jersey.
Yeah, he would still need it after the home run. It's a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah, there's kind of always been an obsession with declothing the walk-off guy. I don't know. It seems like some guys are more excited for it than others. Like, some guys really want that shirtless moment after they hit their walk-off, and other guys are prefer to probably be a little covered up. I don't know.
Do you prefer the shirtless moment? Do you aspire to a shirtless walk-off moment?
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm okay without it. I think I'm all right without it. I think the walk-offs I've been a part of, I think I've been kind of earlier in the year, maybe a little colder, maybe a midsummer game would be a little more appetizing. But yeah, I think I'm good with the uniform. I like it.
I always like watching this part of the game too, Nico, because guys make a choice. For example, if you're someone that doesn't want to get hit in the head, you throw your helmet away. And then guys are not going to necessarily hit you in the head as hard as they would if you came across home plate with your helmet still on. Or the guy that's like, oh, here they go, like that he's trotting to home plate and everyone's there getting ready to dap him up and pour water on him. And he's like, all right, I'll just untuck the jersey, go ahead, pull it off, all that good stuff. I love watching those interactions because you get to see some of the personalities of the guys and like what they prefer in celebrating their awesome accomplishment.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's definitely, and even the walk-offs themselves have a variety of feelings to them, like kind of how the game was and what it took to get to that point and what the moment was like. It's a special thing, but Wrigley always makes it that much better. And yesterday was a really great crowd.
You've got a chance here as one of the best teams in baseball to establish yourselves and feel great heading into the playoffs. Regardless, I mean, it's 5.5 right now in the division, but you're the number one wild card team. Like, what a tremendous opportunity. If you were asked at the beginning of the year, would you accept this? What, 20 games over 500 with a chance to make the playoffs, feeling good about yourselves? It's a pretty damn good spot, isn't it?
It is in a lot of ways, and I'm glad that you said that it's an opportunity, because the end of the year can be such a trap for players individually and even as a group too, because you know those days start getting numbered and guys can get obsessed with, you know, getting to this or that number or the team too, and it starts to mess with the process of how you actually got to that point in the first place. And it is going to feel different, and emotions are going to be more intense. But that also means the opportunity for that joy and excitement and days like yesterday are higher than normal too. And it's just an amazing thing to get to seize. And I mean, I've been here since the end of 2019, and you know, we made the playoffs in 2020, but that was COVID and I didn't play. And so I haven't experienced this, what we have in front of us, honestly, yet. And so, yeah, there's a ton that goes into it, and I'm really excited.
So can you help with that perspective, the fact that you haven't had a chance to experience this, like you just said? There's some kids that don't know how rare an opportunity this might be right now.
Right, yeah. And I think, you know, Cubs fans understand that too, right? Like, they fans that have been fans for decades on end, they've seen great teams, and they've also seen stretches where the playoffs weren't expected every year or whatever you want to call it. And so the fact that we've, no matter how or if it happens, like, get to that point, then there's a lot to be celebrated within that. Obviously, we're going to do everything we can to win the division and finish the year as strong as we can as a group and winning as many games possible, and that is the priority. But never taking that for granted, because you don't know what next year holds. And no matter what kind of year you're having as an individual right now, just getting all in on the group and embracing this opportunity for sure.
I like what I'm hearing from both of you, because it's clear that we have all been influenced by Craig Counsell, because that's how Counts talks about it. He always talks about there's an opportunity the next day. There's an opportunity the next at bat. And you need to cherish and stay in that place where there's an opportunity for it. So I love hearing it. I'm so glad that we do this segment with you, because I think that you've done a really great job, Nico, of bringing people in to what it's like to be a player. And that's the idea of doing segments like this. the stuff that's going on in your mind, we always wonder, is that type of stuff going on in your mind? So to you to give voice to it, I think is great. And I think that it allows for the fan to get even closer to the game.
Yeah. And I mean, I think for all players, there's always like that next thing and next whatever, whether you're in your first year, your sixth, your 11th, like there's the next thing that's pressing on your mind as an individual and thing you want to accomplish and this and that. And I think what's cool about this year that I feel like I've learned a little bit more of is just how much easier all that comes when you're surrounded by other people that are driven and having success and producing and all those things that, you know, you want to achieve individually happen a lot more organically as a result of like the people around you. And it's such a fine line. And like the times when we've played really well this year and the times that we haven't, like the work behind the scenes and the conversations, it's just not that different. And I don't have a secret sauce or answer for it. I wish I did, but I do know that we all really, really benefit from each other. And there's been a lot of amazing things individually this year in our group that I think have been kind of made possible by each other. And same goes for this next 3-4 weeks as we finish up the regular season.
Is Nico Hoerner Fantasy Football Manager making his return to the league this year? You're locked in.
Yeah, we had a draft. We had our draft in Colorado.
Okay.
First, when we got in there, yep.
Who's your first rounder?
Genty, and then
wow.
I had Bucky Irving as my second pick. So one double running back. We're double flex league, so the running back I think is a little more valuable.
Got any Bears? Got any Bears, Nico?
No Bears.
Oh! No Bears. No Bears sounded a lot like Go just, Bears, but the other way.
Go Bears for sure. I root for the Bears.
There you go.
I don't have a team, but I root for the Bears. No, it didn't line up. I think they were all just going off the board so fast. I just missed them all.
Sure. Bunch of jamokes on your team going for all the home guys, right?
Why not? Why not? Right. Well, Nico, thanks so much as always. We appreciate you. Good luck against Atlanta tonight.
Go Bears.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Nico.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, man. We'll
Nico
see you.
Hoerner. Yeah, that no Bears.
No Bears.
I can see you thinking Chris Tannehill, and you're 100% right.
Oh no,
that is going to be an excellent drop
after the first loss. No Bears.
Hopefully, we won't have to play it.
Well, I remember in December when the first loss rolls around.
That's what I'm talking
there
about.
There it is.
Right there.
Oh my goodness.
By the way, we're going to give away some stuff on the show, but we want to let you know, of course, that tonight the Cubs will take on the Braves at Wrigley Field. Pregame begins at 6:05, first pitch at 6:40.
Mm-hmm.
On the score on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
Man, that was awkward. Woo! It was tough. That was Woo! Tough to sit through. I was uncomfortable, and I know that's your plan, and it's working. Like a champ.
That's right. Let's get on these Bears.
Dude, it's time. There's all kinds of interesting stuff that came out of the press conferences today. And our friend Jason Leisure has written some incredible stuff in the Sun-Times over the weekend.
If you want to get into the mind of the Bears quarterback, you need to listen to the next segment. Because Jason Leisure talked to him about all the people that talk about Caleb from the outside. You'll hear what he has to say about it next here on The Score.